An Intimate Ghost by Ellen Hart. Cottonwood, Kansas, Halloween, 1972. Jimmy wasn't in the mood to take his little sister trick-or-treating. For one thing, most of his buddies were waiting for him at the local pizza shop in town. If he didn't show up with the weed, he'd get blamed for spoiling everyone's fun. Jimmy Shore was pissed off and 15. He felt like he'd lived his entire life inside an empty box. Nothing happened in Cottonwood, not unless someone made it happen. And that's what Jimmy was good at, making stuff happen. Jimmy couldn't wait until he grew up, so that he could leave Cottonwood behind and lead his own life somewhere exciting, a place where what he did was nobody's business but his own. In a small town, it was hard to keep a secret, although Jimmy had managed to keep a whopper. The danger he lived with daily made him feel alive in a way nothing else ever had. He wrapped himself around the feeling, plugged himself into it as if he were an electric cord and the danger was his power source. The entire night had been planned. Mike was supposed to get his hands on some beer. Judd said his dad had some red paint in the garage that they could use on old man Tegan's fence. Sam would bring the toilet paper and Artie the eggs. The girls would be waiting at the south end of the park. When they were done raising hell, they could raise a different kind of hell with each other. So what if they got in trouble? At least it brought some drama to their lives. Jimmy knew it was all kid stuff, well, except for the drugs. Weed and speed were his major claim to fame. LSD was more of a problem, though Jimmy could get his hands on just about anything he wanted these days. He'd become a regular walking pharmacy. But as Jimmy was headed out the door, the sky fell in. His old man told him that he'd been called into work an overtime shift at the plant. Jimmy's mom had the flu, so that left Jimmy as the only one who could take Patsy trick-or-treating. Jimmy prided himself on being a hard ass, but he loved his sister. The sight of her standing in front of the mirror in her bedroom, checking out her pink satin fairy costume with the fluffy pink wings, melted his heart. Patsy was only 8. Too young to be interested in the stuff Jimmy was interested in. She hated dolls, but she loved dressing up in silly costumes. He didn't want to see her disappointed. And anyway, it wouldn't take all that long to take her to a few houses. His buddies wouldn't leave without him because he had the weed, so he figured he could let Patsy wander around for an hour or so, and then he'd bring her back home, sit her in front of the TV, and tell her to count her booty. Pushing Patsy out the door, the two of them walked slowly through the blue twilight to the edge of the gravel driveway. Patsy was all squirmy and giggly, so Jimmy decided to calm her down by telling her a ghost story. It was her favorite. He'd made it up one hot summer night while they were lying in the grass looking up at the stars. As they walked along the edge of the road, he could tell when she really started to listen because she took hold of his hand. There was once a little girl who got lost in the big woods east of town and couldn't find her way out. She looked and she looked and she looked, but everywhere she turned, she just saw more trees. The sun was setting fast, and she was starting to get scared. People said ghosts lived in the woods, but they only came out at night. What the little girl didn't know was that the longer she stayed lost, the more likely it was that she'd turn into a ghost herself. And if that happened, she could never go home again, never play with her toys or sleep in her bed or eat ice cream cones from Belmont's drugstore. Patsy was all big-eyed now, listening to Jimmy spin his tale. He figured it was kind of hokey, but Patsy never seemed to mind. He told her that after the little girl had walked around in the woods for a long time, she spied a tree with a door in it. She rushed up to it, but couldn't decide if she should open it. Finally, screwing up her courage, she touched the handle. She was immediately sucked into the darkness. Hands poked at her. Voices whispered that she was a silly little girl and that she wouldn't ever leave the forest alive. She got down on the floor and crawled back toward the door, and finally, after the third push, she tumbled out into the night. She got up and ran away from the tree as fast as she could. She kept running all night, and when the sun came up in the morning, she found the road that led her home. Jimmy could feel Patsy's sigh of relief. She always sighed at that point, even though she knew the ending. He had to finish the story fast because they were coming to the first house. He told her that when the little girl finally got back to her home, nobody could see or hear her. Her mother and father walked right through her as if she were invisible. Because the little girl had spent the night in a forest crawling with ghosts, she'd become a ghost herself. Only her brother could tell when she was in the room. Sometimes he'd sit on the front porch at night listening to the crickets, and she'd sit next to him. But it wasn't like before, when she was a real little girl. "Couldn't her brother save her?" asked Patsy, pressing her hands to the folds of her crinoline wings. "He wanted to," said Jimmy, "but what could he do? A ghost is a dead person. Dead people don't come back to life." "He should make some magic," said Patsy, gazing up into her brother's eyes. "Or she should. Maybe ghosts have special powers." "Yeah, well, maybe they do. Who knows?" "Can I go knock on the Van Gelders' front door?" She looked over her shoulder at the first farmhouse on the edge of town. Directly across from them was a field. Jimmy bent down and straightened her fairy wings. "Go for it, sis." As she scampered off, he stood and watched the door open and an old woman drop several pieces of candy into Patsy's sack. Mrs. Van Gelder was a major talker. Jimmy kicked a stone around while he waited for the conversation to end. Hearing the sound of a car starting, Jimmy glanced to his right and saw a van pull out of a stand of trees. It came to a stop directly across the road from where he was waiting. "Shit," he thought, recognizing the van. He silently cursed his bad luck. Two men got out and stood next to the back fender. Jimmy smiled at the tall, thin one. "Hey, Frank, what's up?" He trotted across to them. "You tell me," said Frank, chewing on a toothpick. Jimmy spotted the shoulder holster under Frank's leather jacket. He backed up a couple of steps. Before he could slip too far away, Frank clamped a hand over Jimmy's shoulder. "I want my money, Jim. Hear me? Now." Jim's smile grew strained. "I don't have it with me." "Okay. Why don't we give you and your sister a ride back to your place? We'll wait outside while you go get it." "But, see, I don't keep it there." Frank's eyes turned into tight slits. "Just tell us where to go and we'll take you." "I'll meet you tomorrow, outside Pickett's Standard Oil." "You think I'm retarded, huh? You already stiffed me once. I gave you an extra 2 weeks, and now I want my money." "Honest, Frank, if you'll just let me have until tomorrow, I'll meet you outside the gas station. I promise." Frank leaned down and breathed his foul breath into Jimmy's face. "But I want my money tonight, kid. Comprende?" "I need a couple more days." He couldn't exactly tell them that he'd, well, sort of borrowed some of the money. He figured a little creative finance couldn't hurt, but he'd taken too much. He tried to raise the prices on what he was selling, but he hadn't made the money back yet. He needed more time. "Now," said Frank. "I can give you half of it tonight." Then Patsy skipped across the road. "Look what Mrs. Van Gelder gave me." She held up her sack and tugged on Jimmy's hand. Jimmy grabbed her and pulled her behind him. "Just be quiet." "Look, Jim, we made a deal," said Frank. "You knew the rules, and you broke them. Maybe you're using the stuff yourself, or you're stealing from me. Either way, it don't work." "But I can explain." Before he knew what was happening, Frank had spun him around and slammed him against the side of the van. His head cracked against the hard metal as the door handle bit into his back. Frank's hand pressed against his throat. Jimmy could hear Patsy crying. "We're talking serious cash here, Jim." Frank tightened his grip. "You know what I do with little boys like you when they mess with me?" "I don't have it," Jimmy gasped. "If you could just give me..." "I don't give you nothing," said Frank. "You want to know what I think?" Jimmy tried to shake his head. "I think maybe you got the money, but you're holding out on me, playing me for a sucker." "No, that's not true," Frank nodded to his friend. "Get the girl." "No," screamed Jimmy, trying to squirm away. "Leave her alone." "Maybe I take her for a few days. See if you change your mind." "Let her go. I'll get you the money. I promise." Frank looked at him hard. He seemed to be thinking about something. Whipping out his gun, he pressed it under Jimmy's chin as the taller man picked up Patsy. He cupped his hand around her mouth to stifle her screams and tossed her into the back of the van. "Your time's up, asshole," whispered Frank, pushing the gun harder into Jimmy's soft flesh. Jimmy was trembling so hard he could hardly stand up. "What are you going to do?" "If I can't get my money one way, I'll get it another."